Most of us only have one birthday, but when part of you was once part of someone else, surely you need to celebrate twice. Joey Gallagher and John Paul are both breathing today after lung transplants. They'd like you to sign up as an organ donor, so they're running a donation drive in the Midlands over the next couple of weeks. Joey and John, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
How does it feel to have a transplant?
It feels wonderful, actually. You can get out and play golf again, go walking, see things that you've never seen before. I had emphysema for over 13 years and had struggled in the end to get to places, always looking for a park close by in the car. But now I can walk through shopping centres and do different things, and had a game of golf with Joey, which was fun. So, yeah, it's good to do things that we used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Joey, what about for you?
I think with me, after... I shouldn't have kept count, but I did. It was 1,187 days of dying, and it blew my mind. Went to bed, and 9 hours later, I was told I only had a 20% chance of me being alive 2 years later. So for me, I have to say, whoever had these lungs before me must have been a triathlete and a Wonder Woman, because I'm 67, and I'm a lot healthier than I was when I was 27.
Really?
Yes, I actually can run flat out for 40 minutes, and my neighbors just think it's crazy because I'm never out of breath. So I'm sort of like Forrest Gump. Okay, but the best thing...
I noticed John sort of holding his face as you say that one.
But I think the most wonderful thing about it is I fell sick when my one and only grandchild was 18 days old, and I'd waited 22 years to meet my grandson, and I couldn't play with him. So now I'm going to go see him in October, and he's 5, and we're going to swim, swing, and just go crazy running. So it's wonderful, and we owe that because somebody was compassionate enough and caring enough to be a registered donor.
Well, John, let's start with you. So the emphysema, how did that begin for you?
I had a touch of pneumonia and had a chest x-ray, and the GP told me that, oh, you've got emphysema. And I said, oh, have I? And things over the years, which was 15 years ago, I got my lungs in May. So I put up with it for over 13 and a half years.
What did it actually mean, emphysema? What does that mean day to day?
Well, my lungs were full of oxygen and couldn't take much more oxygen in, and which I had trouble breathing. So I couldn't, sometimes I couldn't even walk to the toilet, walk to the shower, dress myself, shower myself. And in the end, I only had a 23% lung function. And at the moment, I'm in 90s, 93 to 94%, which is very good.
Actually, I beat John's.
Not that this is a competition, but...
the last lung function test I had about 2 months ago, I couldn't believe it. It registered 103%. This is what I mean about my donor.
103%?
I know. I don't know how you can do that, but... The man said that, you know. Like John is saying, the simplest things, like I tell people, it would take me 20 minutes to put a jumper on and a pair of sweatpants. I could only, and same with John, we could only have like 5 minute showers 3 times a week.
So what was actually happening with your lungs?
What happens is, just like John says, you're breathless around the clock.
So you had emphysema too, the same thing?
No, well, mine was more I got a virus overnight, and it just killed my lungs. Okay, then it turned into COPD. Yeah, which is what John had too. The breathlessness—it's hard to describe, but it's kind of like pinching your nose and trying to breathe only through a tiny straw, 24/7.
Yeah.
So it's when I love talking now, but before, like John and I, it would be every 2 words, people would have to wait about 3 minutes before we could continue. So it's an awful feeling. It's like an elephant stepped on your chest 24/7.
So at some point you get told you're on the lung transplant register. How does that happen?
Well, you've got to have so many symptoms to qualify because my breathing was so poor. It's like breathing through a pinhole in a balloon. That's how bad the breathing is. Yeah. And you're so restricted in what you can do. And even being in hospital, you can't even get out of bed. They put you on oxygen and give you antibiotics and all that, and it clears it up a little bit. But you still struggle with everyday life.
Yeah. So there comes a point where a doctor says, right, you're on the list.
On the list, and and you've got to do all these tests to get on the list as well. I got to x-ray all my teeth, Yeah,
blood. Your teeth.
My teeth, yeah. Just to make sure that my teeth were fine in case something happened during an operation. I've had heart problems. I had a heart attack in 2011. I've got over that, but they put stents in just to make sure that my body was strong enough to receive the lungs. And the stronger you are, the better recovery you've got when you receive your lungs.
I think there's, I'll fill in a little bit with that. There's about 20 different tests that you have to pass. Basically, it's a borderline. You've got to be really bad off to be a candidate, but you can't, you have to be healthy enough that if they're going to give you these lungs, that you're going to be around for a long while afterwards.
And you've got to get yourself fit.
Yeah. And so with me, I was like 33 kilos. And they said, there's no way you can get on the list until you're 45 kilos. However, with being breathless 24/7 meant I was eating up my calories so quickly. I had to eat 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day.
Wow.
For 3 months, force feed myself. And then I got to 45 kilos, and then they said, okay, now you're on the list. John waited 5 months. I was on the list for about 10 months, which was driving me crazy at the end there because they were going to put me in palliative care until I got the phone call. So, but it's a funny thing. If you're too crook, you know, they can't, they don't want to risk. It's a precious gift, and they can't really, waste it on somebody who's going to cark it,
yeah.
You know, basically. So,
you're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. With us is Joey Gallagher and John Paul, who are lung transplant recipients. Sorry, John, you were about to say something there.
Actually, Joey and I both met doing physio, because you do a physio before you, to get your fitness up to receive your donated lungs. And Joey was in a very bad way. She couldn't walk. She used to come in a wheelchair. And there's a couple of our friends that didn't quite make it onto the program. Mm. They passed before they received their lungs, which was very sad. Mm. But, yeah, and it's not an easy thing. There might be a dozen of you, but if you go to the Alfred and even with rehab, you see all these people waiting to get organs, and they range from 5- and 6-year-old children to teenage children to people our age in our 60s. So it's just not 60-year-old people that need them. They're all ages, all different sizes, and it's a massive thing, and it's a great thing that the government do for us when we do go over there, because they put us up in accommodation, put our wives and that up in accommodation close to the Alfred Hospital, which is free. No bills to pay, which is lovely, but it's a long recovery to get back to.
Yeah. And how different is Joey now from someone who could barely, you know, couldn't stand or put her own pants on a lot of the time, to boinging around the landscape like a wallaby?
Oh, she's a Wonder Woman.
John's so nice. Yeah, he's we've both come a long way. You know, it's excellent. And like John said, there was four of us that were wanting to get on the list. Three of us got on the list and got our lungs, and one of our mates, he passed away before he could. So we have sort of a nickname I've given us. We're called the four lungketeers instead of musketeers.
Now, I understand when the transplant comes, it's quite sudden.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a phone call. I was doing physio in the Royal. It goes from 11 till 12, and I got a phone call at 11:45, telling me that to be on the 3 o'clock flight from Hobart to Melbourne. It was Qantas, and when I got to Melbourne, I had to give them a ring to let them know that I was there, and they would proceed to do things their end.
Yep, get the lungs ready to go.
Go and all that. Well, they had the lungs on their way to get there, and I got and picked me tickets up just opposite the hospital, went home, rang my wife up. She was working at the casino, and she left work, and she was more flustered than I was. But we got to the airport, got off the airport, and everything's like a blur. I can remember having an x-ray as soon as I got there, and I went into surgery at 7 o'clock that evening, and I think I got out about 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. They rang me, the surgeon rang my wife and said, your husband's fine, he's got 2 new lungs, everything went well.
How was waking up on that first day?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I had a few problems after surgery, but just to be able to breathe normally and all that. And the staff at the Alfred and all that were marvellous as well. So.
Yeah, John had a lot of hiccups, worse than mine. I thought mine were bad enough because I ended up having to be in ICU, usually there for only 3 days. I ended up being there for 3 weeks and stuff. And when they finally said, okay, Joey, take your first breath, and they took it out and all that, and I took my first breath, and I was just about ready to sing. And then these three doctors walked up and said, sorry, we got to put you back on the ventilator, you know, which is disappointing. So I was plugged back into the machine for another 5 weeks or 8 weeks. But that's okay. At the end of the day, you get there. But John's being very modest. He was, I can't even go through all the hassles he had after he got his lungs. It was critical, very critical for John.
But you both appear to be upright and normal now.
Yeah, I've put on a bit of weight since I've got my lungs, but I think a lot to
that's
do
not
with,
a bad thing, is it?
Has to do with steroids and medication because I'm on nearly 30 tablets a day, which will get better. But they're all like rejection, anti-rejection, different drugs. But
what are you doing to keep fit, John?
I go to the gym where I live at the Lifestyle Village over at Gilston Bay occasionally and have a game of table tennis with my wife. And I have bragging rights at the moment, but she's getting better, so I don't play her as often.
Joey, what's your fitness regime?
I have this crazy one. It's called 40-40, and it means 40 minutes of cardio, you know, at 85% above my resting heart rate. And I can do that by dancing to 1960s tunes if it's too cold, or I'll be bebopping around Bothwell.
Okay, what's the 1960s tune that you like to dance to? I'll have to get that on next.
Oh, Wild Thing, yeah.
Of course, okay.
Of course.
While I'm looking for that, so you do your dancing, and what else are you doing?
Sometimes I mix it up with a bit of jogging, you know, in town. And then after that, I come back and do resistant exercising to strengthen all my muscles. And then I'm crazy and do 20 minutes of yoga, you know, but I love it. And people say, why do you do it? And I say, because I can, and I couldn't.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And look, use it or lose it. And so now is the time to get the most out of
That's
it.
Right.
Especially after years of being breathless. Now, how far ahead do you guys plan? Does this affect your total life expectancy?
Not really. Just take every day as it comes and be so thankful that we've received our organs from such lovely people that have gone that way to donate their organs, or they've lost loved ones. Which is very hard. Like, I'm in a predicament at the moment writing a letter to thank their donors for my organs or for my lungs. But that's one of the hardest parts that I've faced so far, is getting my head around writing the letter. And they've just gone, they had their first anniversary of losing a loved one. And I thought, well, I'll let them get over the anniversary first and then get my pen to paper, and hopefully I can say some lovely words to cheer them up.
Yeah, not hard physically, but emotionally. That's a mountain to climb, isn't it?
It is a very big mountain. Very big mountain.
Have you written your letter?
Yes, it took me as well 18 months afterwards, and it was for probably the same reasons as John, to let them have that first year. And it felt wonderful just to page after page telling them how wonderful what it's done for me. As far as looking ahead, on a positive side, there's an Irish lady in Ireland. She's 76, and she's had her two lungs for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Without a hiccup. And that's very unusual, because kidney transplants, liver transplants, and other organs stand a better chance because they're not airborne.
Yep.
And that's why lung recipients have a shorter expectancy for life. They predict something like after the first year, 85% are still alive. After 5 years, 65% are still alive. But John and I, we don't consider that, and we just go day after day. One thing I've noticed is little things, like I just had an $1,100 bill on a car repair, and I'm still smiling. And that's because when you've gotten a second chance at life, you could care less about everyday problems, maybe.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Now, you are doing a SOS, a little thing to get people signing up. Yeah. Where and when is that happening? What's the story?
You go.
Yeah, SOS stands for Save Our Sick. And this isn't the only time John and I will be doing it. Basically, what it is we know 49% of Tasmanians are registered donors. So I propose to Central Highlands, where I live, let's beat Tassie's average percentage of 49%. So they've all received flyers in their mailboxes and in our little newspaper, etc., saying, first of all, if you are registered, please text me a message on my phone to say I am, so we can count you as being a registered donor. And also on Tuesday night at the CWA Hall in Bothwell, 7:30 till 9, I'll be there to help people register. John is going to come out Sunday, July 14th, And from noon until 1:30, John and I will be registering people. But basically, I'm happy and there's also, I wanted to mention, Joel, if we could give them two ways for your listeners to register as well. So that's what we're doing with SOS.
Getting people signed up. And I think the other important thing about that is you got to sign up and you got to tell your family, I'm signed up, please. Please say yes when the doctors ask you.
That's, you know, Joel, that's really good. Not many people know that, because even though you are registered as a donor, it's your family's decision to consent for them to remove those organs. The other thing, too, people in Tasmania, it used to be on your driver's license, you were registered. That is no longer in existence, so you need to register again.
So, yeah, so you can go to, if you're listening and thinking about this right now, look up Donate Life, which is the official government agency that takes care of these registrations, and you can go and sign up there online. But also, you can go to the CWA Hall at Bothwell on July 9 or July 14 and have some people who've actually gotten this joy of an extra lease on life to help you sign up.
And come and meet us as well. So.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And the other thing with, I'll mention, some people are not computer savvy, so there's a phone number you can call.
Yeah, what's that?
For Donate Life. It is 6270-2209, and they'll send you a postage paid registration form, 6270-2209.
And that's a Tassie number?
Yes, it certainly is. Donate Life.
No worries. Joey Gallagher and John Paul, so lovely to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for helping us.